This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
We want to sign people with a viral hit on TikTok only.
Yeah, that's
and I'm like,
really,
that's so embarrassing for you.
It's real. Yeah.
That's so embarrassing.
It's a thing.
Hi, I'm Madison Malone Kircher.
And I'm Rachel Hampton, and you're listening to I See Why Am I.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. And we have the most important news of the century, maybe? The Queen's not dead. Shocking. Literally everyone, including me. She made an appearance over the weekend just in time for her Platinum Jubilee, which is the celebration of her 70th anniversary of ascending to the throne for those who don't keep up with royals, which you shouldn't. But I'm not gonna lie, her appearance mostly just reminded me that she can literally just disappear for months.
She's very old. Will we grant her that?
I mean, if she's so old, she should retire.
She should retire. The institution itself should retire. Who can say?
You're not wrong. There was, importantly, there was also a hologram at this Platinum Jubilee.
Well, it wasn't a hologram. It wasn't a real hologram.
What do you mean it wasn't a real hologram?
Holograms are three-dimensional. You can walk around them and see their, you know, faces and their butts.
Wow. Not the semantic queen.
This was more akin to, like, if you've ever been to the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland, there's this vignette of all these waltzing, creepy little ghosties, which, cool trick, not a hologram.
So what you're saying is the queen is not a ghost.
No, actually, she is. Oh, my God, that's so funny that you say that, because it wasn't a hologram. It was pretty likely a thing known as Pepper's Ghost, which is, like, a hundreds of years old technology that dates back to, like, the stage. It's just a bit of trickery of the eye.
Nope. That's all the time we have.
Did I mention I was on an academic quiz bowl team in high school? Wait, we didn't even talk about the only thing I want to talk about. One of us has to say it. We have to wish our listeners across the pond a happy Platy Jubes.
Okay. That is all the time we have for Platy Jubes, for Platinum Jubilee. Not least because the only royals we care about in this house either died approximately like 400 years ago or are Amelia Mionette Thermopolis Rinaldi, Queen of Genovia. Cue Genovian theme song.
Genovia, the land I call my home. Here's where I pivot to the Canadian national anthem. True north and strong. I love that movie, man.
It's so good.
Okay, if I can't complain about the Platy Jubes anymore, I do have a complaint I'd like to launch with TikTok.
Again, shocking no one.
They changed around where all my little icons are, and it's messing with my For You page experience.
This is kind of giving when my mother is like, Microsoft Word changed this archaic thing. It's giving get off my lawn.
Did you just liken me to your mother?
That's a compliment.
How old do you think I am?
I mean, this complaint is giving. It's giving middle-aged, but what exactly is going on?
All right. On my middle-aged For You page, there is now an icon between the comments bubble and the share arrow. It's a bookmark. When you click it, it adds whatever video you're watching to your favorites collection. So in theory, it's to help us organize our favorites into separate collections. But instead, it's just messing with my TikTok experience because every time I go to read the comments, which a critical part of getting the full TikTok experience, I just keep hitting bookmark instead and then being like, gah. What I've learned, though, is because I've been talking to people about this, not everyone has this. Our producer Daniel and I were chatting about it, and he doesn't have the feature. And then we looked on Reddit, and there's a user over there who's been deleting and re-downloading the app over the last few months.
Why?
Because sometimes they have this feature, and sometimes they don't.
Huh. I'm going to be honest. I have this feature and I really like it. I am constantly bookmarking things for this show, for my general life. And before, you used to have to go click the three little dots and then find the bookmark button on that little menu. And now it's just right there. I like it. Picasso.
Professionally, I also like it as someone who's constantly saving TikToks for this job. Although, have learned the hard way, The only true way to save a TikTok is to download the video or screen record it, lest you return and find the just heartbreaking video not available.
R.I.P. all the times. We should have saved videos and did not.
R.I.P. the storage space on my phone.
You gotta get a hard drive for that shit.
I guess if you are listening to this and have curated any collections you think I'll enjoy or will enjoy, please send them our way. But this is all, I guess, for the old man yells at cloud section of today's episode of ICYMI. But in my defense, I'm not the only one complaining about TikTok right now. And that's actually what we're going to talk about on the show today.
Yes, we are talking about other people complaining about TikTok. It's an Ouroboros of complaining. Yes, I did learn that word a month ago, and yes, I will be continuing to use it every single episode. On the show today, we're talking about a recent trend of musicians taking to the Clock app to promo their music, but not in the way that you would expect. Instead of the typical, here's this new song I have and I'd love you to listen, they're saying, my record label is forcing me to be here. Is this just a craven marketing ploy, or are these musicians really being oppressed by their record labels?
More on that after the break.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back on TikTok, an app that all of us apparently are sick of, including musicians.
Over the last few months, musicians have been posting TikToks supposedly to promote their new music, but kind of with what we could best describe as hostage situation vibes.
Mm-hmm. That's a great description.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know, Florence, blink twice if you need help kind of thing. And when I say Florence, I mean Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine, who in March released this video of just herself singing to the camera.
I was always able to write my way out. Song always made sense to me. Now I find that when I look down, every page is empty. There is nothing to describe.
That sounds lovely, right?
Yeah. The caption? Not so lovely.
So that says, the label are begging me for, quote, lo-fi TikTok, so here you go. Please send help. Skull and crossbones emoji.
This doesn't quite surprise me from Florence in that she's kind of notoriously private. I think of her as one of those musicians who writes an album, goes on a tour, and then disappears into the woods for a few years.
Oh, for sure. And, like, if you've seen her on one of those tours, the only time I saw her perform, I distinctly remember her just begging the audience to put their phones away, to like join a community of people in a place and not be online. So it wasn't surprising to me to see this. It was also not surprising when I went to the comments and they were full of people being like, sorry, Florence, we like this. Give us more. This is good. Like, we want more from you. But the thing is, it didn't stop in March with that Florence TikTok, right? So in the same month, we get this from the band Tokyo Hotel.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice.
In case you can't tell, that is not, in fact, Tokyo Hotel singing. That is the Reading Rainbow theme, which is a recent trend that has been on TikTok where the Reading Rainbow theme plays, and then the head of the people recording the videos kind of floats around in space. So while this song is going, the on-screen caption reads, us trying to figure out TikTok after the label forced us to be on here.
The thing is, this isn't even a new argument. Back in October of last year, Charlie XCX posts this video.
Well, I didn't really want to be here, so I was made to be here. So obviously I'm just like wanting to get this over with and get on with my life. This is a big inconvenience for me.
Charlie's lip-syncing to an audio of Naomi Campbell testifying during a war crimes trial. Fun little Mad Lib. And the screen reads, when the label asked me to make my 8th TikTok of the week.
Did I know Naomi Campbell testified during a war crimes trial? No.
Yeah, I didn't. You didn't picture Naomi Campbell just strutting at The Hague?
No.
Fast forward to this year, though, we've got at least two more videos in this, what we'll now call a trend, from the one, the only, Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran is playing his new song, which Rachel doesn't think is very good, and I immediately started bopping to. And in the video, he's eating chips with the on-screen caption, when you are supposed to be making promos for your song, but you really just want to eat a snack, and you decide that eating a snack can be promo for a song because everyone loves snacks.
He's not wrong there. And he's also not the only one making these TikToks, because there are more, including one from my biracial queen, Halsey.
So as her song is playing, Halsey's looking at the camera, and the text goes by on the screen. It reads, basically, I have a song that I love that I want to release ASAP, but my record label won't let me. I've been in this industry for 8 years, I've sold over 165 million records, and my record company is saying that I can't release it until they can fake a viral moment on TikTok. Everything is marketing, and they're doing this to basically every artist these days. I just want to release music, man. I deserve better, TBH. I'm tired.
Not great.
It sucks.
It sucks. It's not exactly, I don't want to say fair, because, like, is anything really fair? But, like, it doesn't make me feel great to know that artists are expected to not only create the music that is their primary product, but they're also expected to engineer their own virality. It feels not great.
Not everybody has the capabilities.
And they shouldn't have to.
I'm trying to think who here is a good example of an artist with the range.
I would probably say, I mean, we've talked about Lil Nas X so many times on this fucking show. And also Lizzo, yes. Yeah. There are a few artists who have the abilities to make these moments and to have these moments seem organic, which is really important, because nothing is worse than a musician trying to make something go viral and it flopping. It's like watching someone belly flop in a pool. It's really fucking painful.
The bigger question here, though, is, of course, are these celebrities being real, or is this also a marketing act within a marketing act? People have since begun accusing Halsey of just that. After her TikTok went viral, she tweeted on May 23rd, at this point, I don't know what to do because I told the truth about what's happening, and now I still don't have a release date, and some of you think I'm lying about this whole fiasco, so I'm double fucked, lol. If you have questions, I have answers. I have nothing to hide.
So she's theoretically not lying. This is apparently not all part of a grand marketing packet that all new artists get, where they're like, if you want to go viral, just say that you hate your record label. But another twist comes in this whole saga when an account by the name of Halsey's Cardigan on Twitter, Halsey's Cardigan replies, but some artists also told the truth, not just you, with screenshots of Florence's TikTok, Charlie's TikTok, and a now deleted one that we haven't mentioned yet from FKA Twigs.
Cue Charlie XCX quote tweeting Halsey's Cardigan saying, not me, I was just lying for fun.
Which I think is obviously sarcastic. Not least because in a 2021 podcast appearance, Charlie noted that record labels have been demanding this, like, performed authenticity online for forever.
This is obviously no one's fault, but I do think about when we talk about artists who are really good at performing internet authenticity, often because it starts out genuinely authentically, Taylor Swift, Lil Nas X, how the trickle-down does affect their peers in the industry. You know, record labels here have obviously taken note of the fact that TikTok's virality is a boon for record sales if you do it right, and that, you know, having an artist present on the app can give you that driver's license moment.
But still, it's like a really fine line, as we were saying earlier, between this veneer of authenticity and watching someone just belly flop into a pool of artifice.
Hey, Rachel, I'm going to play you a new Maggie Rogers song I really like.
Oh, I love Maggie Rogers.
Me too.
Not me drunk at 2 a.m. in the East Village remembering someone is gonna yell at me in the morning to post on TikTok.
I found a reason to wake up. Coffee in my cup. Start a new day.
All right, so she's in a grungy bathroom looking at the mirror with the robot voice, and underneath it is a snippet of That's Where I Am, which is now a single that's out. This was back in March. Okay, here's the thing. For weeks, that little opening lick haunted my dreams, because every time I opened TikTok, there would be a new and you would only get the same number of seconds because Maggie was teasing this song, this single, as a marketing hack. Look, I can't say it completely backfired because I've listened to it a million times. I've listened to the second single from this forthcoming album a million times. But by the time they came out, I was so annoyed. You know, these artists who I'm genuinely excited about, what their labels, ostensibly their labels, are making them do is making me hate them.
And yet, it's not working because you still listen to the single.
I know. I'm trying to think of another example where it didn't work. Oh, do you know who Maisie Peters is?
No.
I've definitely tried to make you listen to her music before. I got Daniel, our producer, hooked. I'll come for you next. She's actually, this is very apropos, she's currently opening for Ed Sheeran's tour.
Oh.
She, for weeks now, has been like, I have this song. It's called Kate's Brother, and it's all about how she, like, dated her friend's brother. And she teased, like, line by line for weeks. And then it became, my record label says, if I get to so many faves or views. Like, it just was, right, that old chestnut.
I fucking hate that specific growth hack, even though I know that it works, but it's so annoying. It just makes me not want to engage in any of it. I mean, next thing you know, we're going to get musicians saying, if my record label gets enough tweets from y'all about how angry y'all are at them, then I'll release my new music.
So the question we're coming up against here is, has complaining about record labels become a new way to reach that all-desired virality point? And how does the demand for more social media affect up-and-coming artists? After the break, we're going to come back and talk about all of that. And I think Rachel and I are going to fight a little about whether we should feel bad for musicians at all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, if you love our podcast, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. It means you'll get no ads on any Slate podcast, and you'll be supporting our show. ICYMI would not be possible without your support. Slate Plus really helps us keep this wild show going, and we'd like that to continue. You'll also get bonus segments or extra episodes of shows like Amicist, Political Gabfest, Hit Parade, and the excellent new season of Slow Burn. Plus, unlimited reading on the Slate website, access to every article and advice column we have to offer without ever hitting the paywall. Just head to slate.com/ICYMI+ to sign up. That's slate.com/ICYMI+.
We are back making TikToks about how Slate wants us to make TikToks against our will.
If you're our boss and you're listening to this, we refuse. We actually don't know what TikTok is. Never heard of it.
Who is she?
In a lot of ways, there aren't many surprises in what we've been talking about on the show so far. We all know how much success TikTok can bring the music industry. And every brand is desperate to go viral on there at this point.
At this point, TikToks are not included in the charts. YouTube streams are. But it doesn't even matter because TikTok runs Billboard. TikTok owns Billboard. TikTok eats Billboard for lunch every single fucking day. There are so many songs that exist and are popular simply because of the Clock app.
I mean, tell it to that one song that ripped off Miley Cyrus's Seven Things, a classic that I feel like I cannot escape on TikTok right now.
All this is to say is that it makes so much sense that TikTok is very clearly at the front of mind for music labels, for producers, for industry plants, which is the new insult that every single person calls anyone who promotes music on TikTok now. And to say, I don't feel bad for like Ed Sheeran. I'm going to choose him specifically because that man is richer than God. And there are very few big names that I feel any kind of pity for, in that this is really just an extension of any promo plan that exists. Like, if you put out an album and you're at like Halsey's level or Lizzo's level or like Harry Styles' level, you were expected to do X many interviews, X many posts with X many brands. It's like whenever an actor's promoting a new movie, you see them do press junkets, and you can clearly tell which interviewer had them at the end of the day because they are just so fucking tired. And as a human, I feel bad for them. I'm like, God damn, that sucks. As a person who will never make as much money as them, I'm like, you signed up for it.
You know, I don't know Halsey's relationship to their record label. But I am thinking about all the things we do know about how record labels have treated artists historically.
I mean, even Taylor Swift, who's now re-recording her music. Like, we have heard for years and years that record labels have fucked over their artists. And so I can't help but feel, you know, a twinge of sympathy whenever I see these TikToks. But then I also, as the savvy media literate person that I am, I'm also wondering if I'm just feeling pity for what is basically just the new way to generate virality. It's to the musician and label's benefit to generate this kind of sympathy, in that if you are a fan of Halsey and you see their video, you're like, I'm gonna go listen to their music. And it encourages fans to rally around this artist who is supposedly sticking it to the man, but the man is also off screen signing Halsey's checks. So I don't, you know, it's complicated.
It is. And you have to walk right up to that line. The artists I like best are the ones who feel like they have lived inside of my head, even though they know nothing about me. And as a stable adult, I know that on a good day. But other days, I think
hesitation.
Wow. Wow, they read my diary. They are me. And that helps make the music you're listening to that much more enjoyable. It's that much more of a sensation to feel really seen or heard or understood on an emotional, a spiritual, or even just a like, damn, this is what I like to bop to, Ed, you get me, kind of level. I think what I'm saying is there's a point up into which I really want to believe that I have this special relationship with an artist, even though I know it's not real, but I get something out of believing that. But once they cross the threshold, which I think we're seeing with these TikToks of like, oh, wait, can I not trust you? Suddenly you question all of those other things that made you feel good and made you buy albums and buy sweatshirts and concert tickets and more sweatshirts and Christmas ornaments.
I mean, no one wants to see the strings of marketing. They exist. We know they're there. We know that artists encourage this parasocial relationship. But I don't want to see the effort happening. But the people I keep thinking about throughout this are not like Halsey or Ed Sheeran or even Florence Welch, my queen. The people I'm thinking about are the people I don't know. They're the artists who are coming up who don't even have the built-in audience where a TikTok about their record label is going to go viral. And most importantly, artists who don't have any desire to be on social media. If you're a musician who wants to sell out stadiums, you are already fully invested in the machinery of pop stardom. But if you're just a regular musician who wants to make your music and reach maybe 10,000 people, does it really make sense for your label to ask you to invite fans into your life with authentic TikToks? I don't think so.
Stars being forced to be accessible on the internet? What a concept!
But also importantly, yeah, this isn't new. This cat has been out of the bag for years, decades at this point. But the artists we're talking about also have more power than the artists we don't really know about, in that they can say no to certain demands. Like, Ed Sheeran can eat crisp fried potatoes on camera and count it as promo. The smaller other artists don't. They actually have to divulge some secrets or personal tidbits that maybe they don't fucking want to. So, yeah, importantly, I'm sorry, Ed Sheeran. I keep saying I don't feel sorry for you because I really fucking don't. But
he's the straight white guy in the mix here. It was always going to be the obvious.
It was always going to be him. But I don't necessarily think that feeling sympathy for these artists means that we're being taken in by the marketing campaign. I think that it means that we're thinking critically about what record labels are demanding of artists, and we should always do that because it's getting weird in here, not least because as I see these demands being put onto stars, which, yes, these demands for publicity have always existed, but not in the kind of authentic, quote, way that they now exist. I can't help thinking of stars like Ari Lennox or No Name, artists for whom social media has largely been a toxic experience, and they have been very vocal about that. They have both said they're taking a break from music quite literally because of the demands in social media, and I just don't think that record labels are ever going to give a single shit about the mental or emotional health of their stars, because all press is good press, even when your star is melting down on Twitter. So maybe I should feel sorry for Ed Sheeran. Maybe that's where I'm coming to.
He tried to tell us, and now, Ed, we're listening.
All right, that is the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode, to never miss Madison singing the Genovian theme song and then transitioning into the Canadian theme song. Please leave a rating and a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. It really does help grow the show. And please tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at icymi_pod, which is also where you can DM us your questions like, should I feel sorry for Ed Sheeran? And you can also always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader, Rachel Hampton, and me, Madison Malone Kircher. Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of Audio. See you online.
Or in the recording studio.
Let's go, girls.
Man, I feel like a woman. I love Shania.
Is that what that song sounds like to you?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.